Hello! Welcome to the Security Checkpoint Podcast, your one-stop shop for the English format of the Digimon trading card game. No, I'm gonna do it again. Hello, welcome back to the Security Checkpoint Podcast, your spot for all things Hi again.
Hi there.
Yeah, it's hard. Hey. It's hard.
What's up?
Hey, what's...
How are you? Welcome to episode 3 of Security Checkpoint, our Digimon trading card game podcast. Ours being I'm Nolan, or Card, and I've got with me...
I'm... There's a dog barking.
Yep.
Omnimon...
I've got Omnimon with me?
Oh,
what an
God.
Honor.
Yeah, my name is JB. I go by Rubik's Cubone. And this is huge, actually. This podcast actually is the only podcast out there hosted by 2 Nationals qualifying Digimon players. Big congratulations, Nolan, on taking down your store championships this past week.
Yeah, it was... It's kind of crazy that, like, I played Digimon twice last week, and I felt nostalgic for a time where I used to play Digimon every week, which was, like, 3 months ago. I felt nostalgic, right. Like, through, like, you know, those, like, high school glasses of just, like, oh, remember when I used to play Digimon 3 months ago?
Yeah.
But I got to play Digimon a lot last week. That being said, I mean, I did win with Lord Nightmon. I'm not proud. I am proud. Someone has to do it.
You should be proud. And congratulations. I also felt super nostalgic doing the pre-release tournament, especially.
So nice.
That was such a fun time. You mentioned this to me earlier today, and I totally agree with you. There are not enough sealed Digimon events. Like, as soon as product in the community is at a place where, like, we can do that. Well, Friday Night Magic is a bad example because that's massive. But, like, even a monthly, like, sealed tournament for a local game store would be so much fun.
Yeah. I get why right now it is mainly pre-release because, like, games like Magic, they design cards with the mentality in mind for limited and constructed. They see them through both eyes. I'm not sure if Digimon does
that. It's impossible.
It's just a different game than what we're seeing, right? So even though it's fun, and I think it is, it tests a lot of decision making, and there is, you know, skill and deck building and decisions. I think there probably is a quicker, I guess, a lower is what I'm trying to say, a lower skill ceiling than things like Magic for Terms and Limited, because so much of the game is made for a constructed format. So I can understand Limited being specifically right now a pre-release, but Bandai has released rules and like a tourney format and directions on how to run a draft, which is more understandable because if a card talks about specific names, you're going to draft and see the specific names, or you're going to see them getting hated and know that they're someone's playing that. And B, they're the only draft format I've ever seen that it recommends having 6 booster packs a player.
Ooh.
And I think you pick 2 cards at a time you pick 2 cards at a time every pick.
Yeah, Digimon I bet lends itself much more to the draft format than the sealed format. I'd be interested to see if one of the pre-releases coming up does draft instead of sealed. I mean, it probably won't because Bandai, but it would be so much fun. I need to play that now ASAP.
Yeah, I can't wait to play more Limited like that, but in the meantime, it's hard to even be mad about the amount of Limited that I get to play because I got to play Digimon that wasn't BT5 last week.
Yeah, and we should all be giving our thanks for that. We're recording this the week of Thanksgiving, so let's just take a moment now and give thanks for...
Give thanks for BT6.
For BT, yeah. A moment of silence, please.
I mean, you can edit it to be as long as that moment of silence was. For all they know, that was 1 second.
Yeah, I'm gonna cut it down anyway. I don't know why. I don't know why I asked you to be silent. I usually cut those parts out. what are we talking about this episode?
Three things. One, we're gonna talk about pre-release, how it went. Two, we're gonna touch on one of the more popular decks in BT6, Gabubond, and the few different flavors of it that we've researched and tested and battled against each other this week. Third thing we're gonna do is check in on pick counterpick.
Yes, our famous series, Pick Counterpick.
Yeah, I can't leave my house without people talking to me about Pick Counterpick.
It's really crazy. It's like you're Michael Jackson. There's people outside even now for blocks.
Yeah, and I can tell, like, they don't have to say the word yellow security control. It's just like, you know, right when they like make that disappointed eye contact with me, I know what they're talking about.
All right, well, let's get into it. Pre-release, we made a whole hour and 15 minute long episode telling other people how to do it. Are we eating humble pie this time around?
There is an assortment of pie. And let me just start with the sweetest piece.
I can't wait.
Let me start with the sweetest piece. Let me
feed you this piece of pie. This metaphor is extended far too long.
Yeah, we gotta let it. I mean, I understand it's Thanksgiving week, but this is a lot.
You played Gundramon. Don't even. That's not what I want to even deny with. It.
I played Gundramon. Fine. I had limited sixes. I have my pool right here. Let me bring it up. I think I played every six in my pool, except for one Pukumon. Digiburst 2 can't be blocked by opponent's Digimon, 11k. And someone you know very well, I didn't play my two Babamons.
Okay.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. Yeah, I had nine level sixes. I played six of them, did not play Pukumon or two Babamon. I played my Gundramon because I had two happy bullet showerings, and that was all of my removal. All of it.
Solid.
So while there were times where I just played Gundramon knowing that it was going to kill a rookie, there were other times when I played it because I didn't have another six, and that's fine. I needed a six that would at least have the ability to maybe do something, but here's what makes me mad. Is that my Gundramon, if I set it up to miss, because I know they had a rookie, because again, Gundramon says if you don't hit the option in the first five cards, you just kill something with a play cost of four or less. I would set my Gundramon up to just kill the things that cost four. And whenever I would set it up to maybe get lucky and hit the option, it always hit the option. Every single time. People were mad.
I would be mad if I was you.
Yeah, I'm not going to get back into this pie metaphor. I'm not going to talk about the taste. But I will say, one thing I did not take into mind when we talked about the pre-release is the relevance of cards like Huckmon and cards like Morphomon that say, you know, on play or on deletion, reveal the top five cards, take something that matches their criteria, put the rest on the bottom.
Sure.
I played Morphomon on the bench, swung with it the next turn. It died. Reveal the top five cards in my deck, and none of them were options that could have been taken by Gundramon. So I felt a lot more comfortable just putting five cards on the bottom of my deck to play my Gundramon, knowing that the options were sweeter.
That's very interesting.
That being said, it's kind of like, what if I had put my options on the bottom? Then I don't play my Gundramon the whole game? It was kind of like having two hits on the slot machine, and I get to see the first hit before I commit the Gundramon.
Okay.
It was an optimistic play that worked out, but it was something I didn't think of. Some way to manipulate the chances on Gundramon, or at least, you know, look behind the veil a little bit.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think that's really cool that you got to use those cards like that. We saw a ton of Skull Mammothmon. I think you were right on the money about that being a pre-release defining
He's
card.
He's huge. He's so big.
Absolutely massive. I want to hear more about your deck before we get into mine.
Okay. So I guess I should state that I went 4-1. I lost in the 4-0 bracket. There were two of us. I lost that game in three. And at first I thought I lost because I bricked on game one and three, but I won game one on the brick. In game two, I lost because I think I went too aggressive and I should have played more around my six is staying stable instead of trying to rush out a win, because I tried to rush out a win into an, and he had Ogremon, and it just ruined all my life. But that being said, my deck was pretty solid. I had Ginkakumon, Kinkakumon, and Ginkakumon Promote.
You had the whole deal.
I didn't have any of the level sixes, but those three guys were great. And oh yeah, like, so I would have this really sick play, this setup, where I would attack with a level five with a Kinkakumon below it, which would say on attacking, you can trash a card in your hand to delete a level three. And I would attack into their tapped Digimon. Then I would discard a card to kill their other level three. And now the only thing left is their big beater, like their level six. And then I could play Genkumon. And it just ruined lives.
Yeah. The combo potential in this set for Limited was really, really strong. I was making some similarly fun plays.
I will say, I think, like, because of the podcast, we did more research on the BT6 pre-release meta, the Limited meta, than probably anybody. So, like, I was playing two level 5 Eosmon just to make sure my Skull Mammothmons were bigger than theirs. And they were. And it was a problem for people.
That's awesome.
I played Manticoremon. Never saw him, which was sad.
you never had to make the hard decision.
Yeah, and which That's I good. Guess I should be thankful for.
Yeah.
One thing we didn't take into consideration is that Andromon was a card you received just for playing. So everyone had an Andromon in their deck. So everyone had a level 5 blocker, which came up a lot.
It was definitely super useful. I also don't know if that's exactly official sealed procedure, but it was the procedure we played with.
It's the procedure. I guess I've experienced it maybe I've experienced it so many times now where I just assume it's okay.
Just like play any with your card you get.
Yeah, I'm just like, they gave me a card. I'm going to use it. The first time I was kind of weird, but you know, the first time I used my Magic pre-release card, it was weird, but then it became, I can't wait to use my Magic pre-release card.
Another like move or play that we talked about that a ton of people were using is that level 4 drop into Ginkakumon Promote to swing with Rush.
That
it was fantastic. I was so proud of every player I saw do that. And us for being so smart and good.
Yeah, there were several games where I got to play, or I got to crack my memory boost. What's the term? Where does it go? The battle area? I got to crack a memory boost that was in play, gain the memory, swing with like Skull Mammothmon, and finish it with a like Sistermon into Ginkaku Promote.
That's just the sweetest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, you had a pretty solid pool. I'm looking at it now. Your sixes were two Skull Mammoth, one Genku, a Gundramon, Tidemon, and Eldradimon. Boy, I would have done just about anything for those sixes.
Yeah, they were very good to me. Eldradimon was everywhere. Everyone was fearing Eldradimon.
Absolutely. Because one of the hard removals in this set is that Wyvern's Breath that was fairly easy to turn on. And reduces one Digimon's DP by 15,000. And Eldradimon says, nope, sorry, can't do that.
Yeah, which is big, but I feel like what's bigger is that just it had the number 12. It had 12 KDP, which is more than 11.
Thank you. Thank you once again.
I'm here to tell people what numbers are bigger than other numbers.
That's actually valuable information for some, because another MVP of this pre-release were those vanilla beaters. Apemon was immaculate, undeniable. Octomon, fantastic. Deltamon, great. All those vanilla beaters, so, so useful. Can I walk you through my deck list real quick?
Oh, yes.
So I had such a shameful pool. I had a good pool for, like, cards I wanted. I got a pre-release Izzy and Joe, which I thought was pretty fun. But I pulled exactly 5 level 6s. And they were Magna Kidmon, which was good, except I had one 3 Musketeer option. I got the Ancient Troymon, which was useful. Pile Volcamon was fun. And then the last two, which I had to play, were these two Babamons. I could not recommend any less.
You might have been the only player in the room playing Babamon.
I think I was, and they won me the game twice, which was insane. So Babamon has an on deletion effect that says You may play one Rosemon, not in the set, or up to two yellow level 3 Digimon from your hand without paying their memory costs. So there was a situation. I have a level 5 on the board. I had just swung. I'm looking at a Magna Kidmon. I have like 3 security. He's got none. So I Digivolve my tapped level 5 into Bobamon, and he has to swing into the Bobamon. I had previously seen him put a Gewalt Schwarmer into his hand from deck. He kills the Bobamon on deletion effect procs. By some miracle, I have the 2 yellow rookies in my deck in my hand at the time.
Gross.
And I'm like, I can't play either of these because they're just going to get swept off the board.
You know about the Gewalt Schwarmer.
With Gewalt Schwarmer. But I read my cards like a good TCG player, and I see my Tinkermon. I slam that Tinkermon down. Nothing else. Don't need to play the Tapirmon. Opponent casts Gewalt Schwarmer. Gets that, and I think I also actually had a Deltamon on the field as well. But Tinkermon's on deletion effect says one of my opponent's Digimon gets security attack -1 for the turn, or until the opponent's next turn. So he can't swing after that. And I'm giving everything to Bobamon. It's my new favorite card.
Wait, but then why wouldn't the opponent swing before casting Gewalt Schwarmer?
Because he had to swing into my Bobamon.
And it says until the end of your opponent's next turn?
Yes.
Okay, so even though it was his current turn,
his next turn, it would still have security attack -1.
Oh, okay. That's a lot better than I thought.
Yeah.
That's pretty dirty.
It's pretty sick. I also played 8 options in, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4 colors. I did pull 3 reinforced memory boosts. Played all 3 of them. Pulled a Wyvern's Breath, played that. Had the Gewalt Schwarmer, played that. And that was all of my removal. I did have a Rattlestar, but it couldn't touch any level 6s, which was something I dealt with a lot. I played the Underworld's Call, which was really exciting. I liked that card a lot. Being able to trash it for cycling to get another card out of the deck was great, and being able to call the promote from my trash for 4 was also really great. Every single one of my options, though, I just had to take opportunities when I happened to have that color Digimon on hand or on the board. So I was starting a lot of games with Digivolve Tapirmon, play Reinforced Memory Boost, and a lot of people groaned at me. I went 3-2. You can see my both of our full deck lists on our Twitter account. You'll look at mine, and I want you to know that I am grateful for all 3 of my wins. I truly appreciate each of them individually. But I think I did about as well as I could have. Maybe there were a couple of card swaps I should have done. But all in all, I'm happy. You got a Pulsemon.
Yeah, I got a Pulsemon. Felt great.
Congratulations.
Thanks. And then I opened, we got, in my prize packs, there was a, they gave out anniversary packs, and I got an Altart Chaosmon, which I was pretty happy about. It's beautiful.
The Valdurarm, right?
Yeah, Valdurarm.
It's awesome. All of those cards look so good.
Another card that I think I gave a bad review to, and I ate my words, was Ornismon. It costs 12 to hard play, 4 to Digivolve. It's a 12k body. Security attack +1, on play, delete one of your opponent's level 5 or lower Digimon. I had to deal with this card 2 times, and one time it made me go to game 3. The other time, I got very lucky in that I had a removal spell in my hand for it, but I watched a lot of games from the sidelines where someone would, like, open without a rookie, play a 4 or 5, and the other person responds with Ornismon, and they just could not deal with it.
Oh, yeah, that's actually a sick, like,
yeah, they're also
counter, yeah, brick.
Counter, like, yeah, it was one of those situations where it's just like, I'm already down and you get kicked, like. But also, like, I saw situations where people played normally and, like, they say, for instance, it's like turn 3 and their other guy just died in security. They play a level 3 and the other guy goes Ornismon and they have like 9 memory to work with, but none of the cards in their hand deal with a 12k beater because 12 is bigger than 11. I gave Ornismon a bad rap because I think I was trying to only think of him in the ideology around the synergy he has with Murmurskuzmon, because those are two cards that play off of each other. But Ornismon's just, your opponent has to have an answer. And if they have the answer, they use that memory accordingly. And you sometimes two for one, because you play one Ornismon, kill their guy, and they have to play you. So they have to play another answer to your Ornismon. Now you're up a card. Sometimes they can do a ton more with that memory, but I never saw someone get super punished for hard drafting or hard dropping an Ornismon, except when I played Gankumon against them. That felt bad.
Yeah, that card was sick. I didn't have to run up against it, but that's because I was playing in the loser bracket.
I did see a match. Both players were 3-1 playing for the Pulsemon, and one swung with Agumon Bond of Bravery. Oh. No procs, just a level 7. And I was like, people are doing this. They're like committing their sixes to this. And he swings into security and reveals Fly Bullet.
Just
in disbelief. I was in such disbelief that happened.
Wait. Fly Bullet, is that true? Because Fly Bullet misses.
Yes, listen to my story.
Okay.
Fly Bullet gets revealed, and I'm in disbelief that Agumon got to dodge an option in security because he's a level 7 and not level 6, and Fly Bullet says 6 or less. And the guy against on the other side of the table, he's like, yeah! And the Agumon player's like, oh, no. And he puts him in the discard pile, and I was like, and I say with like my head in my hands, I'm like, that says 6 or less. And the Agumon player starts cheering. And I, oh my gosh, I just felt like I was eating my own words, that this card just won this person the game, not only because it was big and it was getting through security, but that it just countered the text on Fly Bullet.
Yeah, that's pretty insane. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so glad to be playing BT6 now.
I'm more excited about Digimon than I have been in a long time. And I played and won a BT5 City Championships last week, and I was still just giddy at this pre-release.
Yeah, we are here. It is BT6. Let's start talking about this Gabubon deck, because I think it's going to have the exact same reputation that Lord Nightmon had.
Just as the king of the meta?
Yeah, but it instills that kind of like, what do I even do about it? Feeling,
sure,
you know.
Yeah,
so the Bond of Friendship deck revolves around the Tamer Matt, who says when you push a Gabumon or a Garurumon out of raising, you get a memory and draw a card. And he also says once per turn you can drop two security to digivolve your level 3 Gabumon into a level 7 Gabumon Bond of Friendship. That power jumping is insane, and I almost think it could say drop three security and still be played.
I agree with that.
Because Bond of Friendship says, when attacking, once per turn, unsuspend this Digimon. And it says, when attacking, you can return one of your opponent's level 5 or lower Digimon to the bottom of its deck. That's not a once per turn. You can do that twice with just the text on the card, but in BT6 we also get a Gabumon that's inherits. If this Digimon is Gabumon Bond of Friendship, unsuspend this Digimon once per turn.
So that's three. So that's three swings, right?
Yeah, if you have the correct Gabumon underneath, you get three swings, each swing removing a level 5 or lower Digimon from your opponent's field. It's insane. Like, it's so much value. However, there are two major versions of this deck. There is the plain Jane variant, where you play, you know, a boatload of Gabumons. You play some Strabimons to look for tamers. You play some Octomons to go into like a level 4 7k, so you don't die to too much insecurity.
Cordramons if you got them,
which we won't for a while. We'll talk more on that later. But then there is the other version of the deck that plays with the ancient Garurumon engine as well. So you've got your promo Lobamons who say who digivolve for 2 and say when digivolving you may digivolve this Digimon into ancient Garurumon for 1. So, similarly to the Matt Tamer, you're going from a level 3 into a level 6 for 3 memory, but you need more cards in hand.
When you first told me about Because we, so at the beginning of our BT6 testing, I was playing a lot of Gabubond, and I was like, wow, this deck's really consistent, goes real fast, kills people with the right draw pretty often, and even on the bad draws, it puts a lot of pressure down. And then you told me about this version with Ancient Gurumon, and in my head, I was like, the deck's already so good. Like, would you really want to, like, fill it up with more cards and make it less consistent? But as we've tested it more, it just seems like it's the same deck with more bullets to kill the opponent. It doesn't, like, I felt like I was bricking more on the traditional Bond of Friendship deck because I had less bullets and I was looking for, you know, one specific card. But because the ancient version has more bullets and more two-card combos that can just wreck the opponent, I felt like it was a lot more open to not receiving one end of its combo and getting the other one.
Yeah, definitely. If you're playing the standard version and you've got, like, your mat on the field, you've got your Gabumon and Raising, when you move that Gabumon out onto the field, gain that memory and draw a card, if you don't have the Bond of Friendship in your hand, you need that one card you draw to be Bond of Friendship. But if you're playing the Ancient Gurumon version, you move that card out, draw a card, gain a memory. If you don't have the Bond of Friendship, that card could be a number of answers for you. It could be the Lobomon if you've got the Ancient Gurumon in hand. It could be the Ancient Gurumon if you got the Lobomon in hand. There are just so many more answers to draw into for the Ancient Gurumon version. However, having those more bullets in the deck, having more top end, also opens you up more to bricking. And I say bricking relatively because you're still running like 14 to 16 rookies. And
they're all named Gabumon.
And most of them are named Gabumon. But compared to the standard Bond of Friendship deck, you're basically never going to draw a hand without a rookie turn one. You may do that with the ancient version, but probably not. It's so weird calling that deck bricky when it might happen one in every like 30 games compared to one in every like 7 of a standard Digimon deck.
Yeah, we jammed these two versions against each other, not because to necessarily see which one was better, but I think the mirror of Gabubon's is going to be, like, piloting that correctly is going to be a lot like piloting Lord Nightmon mirrors. And I think in the mirror, I would rather be the player running Ancient Wargurumon because you have more bullets to fire in the mirror. And I think we tested this matchup a lot with both of us playing both decks. We were both on both sides of it. And the Ancient Wargurumon was pretty much always up. And when the traditional deck won, it really worked for it.
Yeah. One of the biggest drawbacks of the deck is that you have to drop those two security cards to go into your boss monster, and having the option to do significant damage with a high DP amount without having to drop those security is huge, which seems silly to say because, like, duh, obviously, but you take standard Bond of Friendship against most other decks in the meta, and you can pretty much just win before they get set up, unless they're playing extremely well and taking all these moves into consideration.
Yeah, I definitely feel like Gabumon is going to keep slow decks in check. Like, it's going to, pretty much every deck's going to be asking the question, like, can I deal with Gabumon mat turn one? And how would I deal with it? Can my security offer me answers to this? And to touch back on what you're talking about with the quote-unquote drawback of Gabubond and Matt saying, you know, discard two security. I think we're dropping those two security cards is a big deal is the mirror, because you drop two security cards and now you can die to Bond of Friendship and a Lobomon, because Bond of Friendship can be three swings under the right Digimon. So when your deck has the alternate option to go Ancient Wargurumon and get two security out from under them without losing any of your own. So now if you go Gabumon into Bond of Friendship the next turn, that's with Lobomon, that's four swings,
and that's the win game condition. It's this game is only getting faster. Isn't that crazy? Like, I'm testing these decks with you, and I'm looking at my four security, and I'm looking at your one rookie on the field and one in Raising. I'm like, well, you've got Lethal.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so bonkers. The mirror matchup is super interesting, though. And I was thinking about that as I was making some techs for our playtesting. And what I think it might come down to is having enough cards in your deck that the opponent's bond of friendship dies in early security swings or gets off the field or stops attacking.
I mean, that's how security control is going to fight it, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So what I tried at one point was running the 2-cost yellow TK. It says your security Digimon get +2,000 so that my ancient Garurumons would kill your bond of friendships if they ran into them in security, which didn't happen in testing, which is, like, you know, to be expected. But I don't know. That's why I was trying for a more option heavy list. I don't know what what to do about these decks.
I think what's going to be really interesting is if we see a rise in Tsukuyomon in North America because of Gabumon. And again, if you don't know, Tsukuyomon is a level 6, 11k, 12 to play hard cast, 3 to Digivolve. And she says, during the opponent's turn, when an opponent's Digimon moves from the breeding area to the battle area, it gains security attack -3. So it shuts down that turn of them moving their Gabumon up, gaining the mat stacks, and then going straight into Bond of Friendship.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely very important.
And the thing is that, like, we're playing a card game without sideboards. Like, if they're running Tsukuyomon, they're running it in every matchup. So it's going to be really interesting to see if this card makes it to top tables because they're expecting to play against Bond of Friendship every game. And how many slots can you dedicate to that? 2? 3? If say Bond of Friendship's your worst matchup, can you afford to really only run 2 Tsukuyomon?
You're talking about security control, yeah?
I'm talking about any deck that runs yellow.
Yeah, but how... I could see Tsukuyomon 2 of in, like, an updated Lord Nightmon list. I think that would be smart.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really smart, actually. So I talk about the security TK because that's one of the few drawbacks that Bond of Friendship has, is that it's only 14k. It probably doesn't get much higher than that, which is interesting compared to the Bond of Bravery? Courage? Bravery?
The red one.
The Agumon one. The red one. Because that, depending on what the egg is usually going to have +1 or +2k, also depending on the Agumon. So that's going to get over a lot of level 7s in security. That's going to be the biggest, like, heartbreaker that Bond of Friendship has matched up with most other stuff, is running into a level 7 in security that you don't have the DP to get over. I also want to emphasize that, like, since Bond of Friendship returns level 5s or lower to bottom of the deck, you can't just block. You can't just put out a blocker to save you a turn, because it's that particular aspect of the deck that makes me feel like it's going to be so much like Lord Nightmon.
Yeah, it's oppressive.
Because, like, yeah. Because when I'm looking at a Lord Nightmon on the field, about to swing for game, I'm like, I can't play a blocker because you're just going to swing, drop a Nightmon -4k, and then do some other dumb stuff,
Taekwon,
and
Stars
I'll
one,
be dead.
Yeah.
So similarly, you have to, like, find a way to prevent swings without using a blocker, which is why specifically for the matchup, none of these Bond of Friendship decks should be going without Howling Memory Boost.
Yeah, Howling Memory Boost proved to be real good in testing.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing Seven Musketeers against your Gabumon for a while. And
There's just three of them.
There's three Musketeers?
You said seven.
Oh, it's that. Seven is the costly option. Okay, yes, three Musketeers. I was playing three Musketeers against a Gabumon, and every time I felt like I had to play a Gundramon to get a blocker out that couldn't be returned, it would just get Howling Memory Boosted, and you had a million memory to kill me. Maybe I think. I still need some work with that deck, but Howling Memory Boost just lets you get around things that you shouldn't be able to get around.
Yeah, there are so many blue cards that let you just play by your own set of rules in this deck list. It's so fun. And it's so strong. And I don't think people are going to get as sick of it as they were of Lord Nightmon, because I think we'll have cards sooner than last time.
Sure.
But I think it's just as... I think it's going to be just as, like, tier zero as Lord Nightmon was. I think there will be one strong meta deck that does well against it. And I'm not sure what that is yet.
I'm excited to see it. We're going to start seeing events this week in America. Mm-hmm. I try not to look too much at Japan because I don't want to, like, spoil it for me. But I'm really excited to see how popular Gabubond can get versus, like, America loves yellow. I love yellow. I'm very interested to see if that gets forced through with like Dynasmon, Wargreymon stuff, or if Gabumon can really just take it all the way.
America also loves
Rookie Black. Rush.
Oh, and
we're
Rookie
both
Rush.
Saying, yeah.
We're saying the same thing. We're not. I actually have seen some interesting looking just yellow green Rookie Rush decks still sticking around.
What do they gain from BT6?
Apemon.
Sure, he's big.
The Pulsemon that you can... The super rare Pulsemon. Mm.
Right.
I don't think it is. I think it's just rare.
Yeah, I think it's just rare. But they don't play the new yellow egg, do they? No way.
I think they do.
They play BBmon?
I think there's a one of... Sure. It's better than Pikmon.
They're different.
Yeah, what are you going to... Okay, as a Rookie Rush player... What are you going to give -1k DP to that's going to be useful at all?
The thing that was 1k away from dying from your Starzmon.
Okay, well, I'd rather get a memory. But neither of us play that deck anyway. So.
True. That being said, BBmon won me a game in the pre-release for just no reason. Like, just happened to be at 3 security, swung one, and then they couldn't get the blocker down without passing the turn in a really, really awkward way.
You said, oh, I've had 3 security. I get a memory.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I deserve this. I planned for this.
That's really funny.
But yeah, Gabumon's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I'm very interested to see what 2 weeks from now Nolan is saying as he looks at the standings for North American tournaments.
I really think the only way to stop that guy, Bond of Friendship, is with either Tsukuyomon. Tsukuyomon is very good. I think it's a really strong counter to it. I don't know how relevant it'll be, but it's a really good counter. Or security shenanigans, but like very specific security shenanigans, you know? Something that will suspend one of your opponent's Digimon will work wonders on it. But if you go with... Like, Three Musketeers is going to be such a popular security control deck, and two of its three main cards can't touch it, you know?
Yeah. I think it's definitely going to, depending on, like, where you are locally, whichever deck is more popular is going to control so many decision makings on, like, do you fight against Gabubond, or do you build against dealing with, like, seven Musketeer control?
There's only three.
God, three Musketeers. Okay. Musketeers. Why give them a number? We all know. There's an amount of them. I'm just going to start spitting out ideas on this podcast we record. You know, there's going to be a yellow deck out there that like plays mid-range, controls the board, plays Wargreymon, plays Tsukuyomon, plays Dynasmon. Dynasmon isn't bad against Gabubond.
Okay, you have already listed three megas, which is one more than most decks run, you know?
I mean, you can do some funny numbers.
Yeah. You can do some creative accounting.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I think the closest thing to... It remains to be seen. That's something you should send in if you've got a yellow deck that's doing well at locals. Please, we want to see it. Because as of right now, I think the closest thing we've got is Lord Nightmon plus Tsukuyomon. Not like a one of Tsukuyomon and a one of Dynasmon, and that makes no sense. I don't know what to do with these yellow cards
I know this is anecdotal, but on Twitter today I saw a player talk about their first BT6 locals that happened and that Lord Nightmon took it. I don't know if Lord Nightmon even had BT6 cards, but they were very sad.
That actually might be the perfect form of karma for people like you and me to just complain for a month about how about playing
BT5 all day,
Lord Nymon. Yeah,
and then just playing BT5 and BT6.
Yeah, and yeah. If you and I had our own like personal Dante's Ring of Hell, I think ours would be. Like, everyone else gets new and updated cards, goes to BT7, BT8, but we just have the same Lord Nightmon deck in our box. And we keep doing well.
Even. Oh, yeah. That's a Twilight Zone episode. That's what is it? The scary door.
The scary mon. Sick. As a final word on these lists, I do think I'm going to be an ancient Garuru Bond of Friendship player, and I think everyone's gonna hate me and call me mean names
in relation to you playing the deck, or
I guess if now's the time you want to joke, that's cool. So with that, let's get into our favorite segment, pick counter pick.
Oh, thank god. I thought you were gonna say like, who's that Digimon again?
Shh, shh. That's coming later.
Oh, great. Okay.
Or maybe not. No, it's not. It's not. Thank God. I don't want to put you on edge like that.
It's not edge. It's just. Anyway, pick counter pick. I won last episode with yellow black security control. It didn't feel good. You were playing black Royal Knights, and you've had.
It didn't feel good either.
You've had some time to think about what you've done, as have I. And you brought a counter pick. Tell me what it is. Because we don't tell each other. Like, there's a lot of times we'll start a conversation and we'll say, save it for the podcast. Like, so I don't know what you're playing today. And now I need,
but, I mean,
now I
you
want
could
to know.
Probably guess.
Yeah.
I'll tell you now, I am playing the red Jessmon deck.
What? Really?
Yeah.
You're not playing Gabubon today?
I'm not.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Tell me about your Jessmon build.
Jessmon is a great deck. It's going to be another tier one deck. I think it has a uniquely strong matchup against Security Control and Three Musketeers, but in this case, we're looking at Security Control. Because of its access to a Delicate Plan, as well as its access to Tie Tamers, who will give it bonus security attack, it gets to restand off of Savior Huckmon. When you combine all of these things, it just sets up for, no matter how many security cards you have, I can probably set up for a one-turn kill.
I'll take that as a challenge.
Oh, that's exciting. I don't think I'm bringing anything super, super strange to the deck. I'm playing one Atomic Blaster, which is the tech you want if you're playing against Gabubon, but it won't work. We've tested it. That's a different episode.
I want to know how many Delicate Plans you're playing, but I also don't.
Okay, we'll talk about that after. Also, before we start, we should say really quick that the starter decks have been delayed in North America. The decks we're gonna play against each other in pick counter pick, we are gonna go ahead and use the starter deck cards in. However, don't send me an invite right now.
I'm just loading up Tabletop Simulator.
The decks we're going to use in pick counter pick are going to use cards from that starter deck, but until we get those starter deck cards, the decks or things we talk about otherwise are not going to include them. For instance, for the Gabubon deck, you want to play Howling Memory Boost instead of Blue Memory Boost. Even when we get Blue Memory Boost, I don't think it's better than Howling Memory Boost. That's a different thing. We're about to play Jessmon v Security Control. See you soon.
Oh boy.
We're back from the lab, and the counter pick, it was a success. Jessmon beats yellow black security control in 3 games.
How many delicate plans are you playing? Now I gotta know.
Just 2.
Oh man. Okay, yeah. Okay.
So like, I think Jessmon has a better time with this matchup than any red deck we've seen so far. Because, like, it can unbrick itself so easy with that Huckmon. Game one, I lost because I bricked and I couldn't find the Huckmon to do the unbricking again. Game two was totally standard, I thought, on my end. And game three, I bricked again. I was down to two cards at one point. And I managed to draw into the Huckmon.
Drew into four Huckmons.
Play Huckmon, grab two Huckmons, Digivolve one Huckmon onto an egg I was holding onto, and draw into the fourth Huckmon. It was unbelievable.
That game was also kind of a brick for me because I recovered. I probably had a total of 11 cards in security that whole game, and two of them triggered. One card was destroyed by, or not destroyed, but canceled by a Delicate Plan. But other than that, it was pretty much just all Digimon and
junk.
Yeah, it was junk. But regardless, I think Jessmon's a good tool against security control, but I say Jessmon, and I might just really mean a Delicate Plan.
Yeah, I mean, totally. The reason that it's Jessmon in particular is because he gets the restanding off of Savior Huckmon's inheritable.
Right.
And so, and any security of boost is essentially doubled. Because, like, it's so easy to chop through so much of your security cards.
Yeah.
And
it's also
Delicate Plan.
Yeah, I think because you're comfortable setting up for Delicate Plan, unless I have, like a Magna you can't deal with, which is really rare, or, like, an early Zort defeat. Like, assuming you're not swinging, I think I need to be in the mindset to, like, play a reinforcing memory boost and the next turn like slam a defeat, because you're already getting all the time in the world to set up for that Delicate Plan Jessmon, and you have the Sistermons to power through. Like, you're gonna power through no matter what, and I think I need to just fire bullets, the limited bullets I have. Like, I think if I play that matchup again, I would definitely set up for just hard casting Omnimons.
I totally agree. If you give really any red deck because of a Delicate Plan, from here I'm making the call now. From here until the end of the days of Digimon TCG, if you are a security control player playing against red and they are just spending their time setting up looking for a Delicate Plan, you need to put down as much pressure as you can early. Because I think that's the one game that you can't afford to let run out.
Yeah, like, I think it's really easy in other card games to think, oh, they're not going to draw it because I can plan it out, or I'm going to, like, hit them with my little dude for even one point of damage, it's a clock. But in this game, we get through our deck pretty fast, like, and you're eventually going to see every card, unless all four copies got dealt to security or something. You're gonna see all the cards in your deck, so saying you can't just wait out and wait for the Delicate Plan, like, they're going to draw it. So many security games go to time.
But on the other hand, if a Delicate Plan is in my security and you hit it and add it to my hand and I've got a Jessmon on deck, how bad do you feel?
Real bad.
You know?
Really bad.
but like, that's the only way I think you win. Or you just hope that both of my Delicate Plans are in
security.
Yeah,
until there's a card, heaven forbid, or I don't know, maybe pray for, until there's a card that says peek at your opponent's security, you have to assume it's not in there, and you have to assume you have to play your bullets.
Yeah.
But God, if there was a card that would let me peek at my opponent's security, how much memory would I pay for that? How many dollars would I pay for that?
No, we can't go there. How much memory would you pay for that?
You just said we can't go there.
No, we can't go there in terms of money.
Oh.
Because I know you drop dollar amounts on that.
There's just a card that said, like, swipe your credit card into the Bandai app, look at your opponent's security. For every dollar, this card's memory cost is reduced by one.
And it costs 400 memory.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think I would, for a card that just said, look at your opponent's memory stack, put back in
a random order.
Put back in a random order?
It would have to be random.
Okay.
If you got to know the order, that's too much.
Yeah. Okay. Put back in a random order. How much memory would you pay for that? I would pay.
What color is it?
It's white.
Oh. Does it ignore colors? Do I have to have a white thing out?
You have to have any tamer in play.
I feel like I'm on a first date and like you're asking each other weird questions. Like, imagine you're in this situation. Like,
yeah, we're essentially playing the Digimon TCG TTRPG right now.
Yeah,
I'm inventing like homebrew. Yeah, we're playing.
I think if it was just look at my opponent's security, nothing else.
Put back in a random order.
It's white, so I pretty much have to have a Tyrant play. I think I would pay 3 memory.
I would pay 5 memory.
You pay 5.
I think. I'm not sure.
I mean, like, for certain decks, you play 5 and you have to pass, and then they just attack you.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's super magic. Like, it would be a great sideboard card, which I'm going to say probably once an episode until we stop.
We stop making episodes?
Yeah, until either the Digimon trading card game stops or until we stop making this podcast. I'm just going to say, if we had a sideboard, X card would be great.
Yeah. This imaginary card we just made up would be awesome in a sideboard.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Bandai sponsor us.
Jessmon tears through security control. Okay, so heartbreaking game one, I had such a sense of panic at the idea that I might have to slink back onto this recording and tell the world that I lost to yellow black security control again. But we made it through. Are there any changes you would make to your security control list?
I might.
If you were gonna play against Jessmon again.
Specifically Jessmon?
Yeah, specifically Jessmon.
I think I'd play a fifth Izzy. Because the games go so long and I'm just waiting for you that, like, I need to make sure that I have tamers, I have a black source. Because I'm not like, I'm only playing 4 Digimon that can Digivolve from eggs. Other than reinforcing memory boost, you know, the only real draw in the deck is, you know, quote unquote draw is recovery plus one, right? And you're not seeing those cards. Yeah. Because you're not like eating away at my security, like even trying to get me down to 4 and then doing all that swing like a lot of decks have done in the past, because you can really wait for that delicate plan and do, you know, what is it? It's if you have a tie and a gray, that's 6
checks
of security.
I could do 6 in one turn.
Yeah. Because of that, and not having to give me any security before that, like I have to be doing something. And even though I think I would like to play the matchup again with the mindset of playing my Omnimons right out, but I think I might honestly play another Izzy Izumi because, like, looking at the top 3 and rearranging them, not only for recovery antics, but for you, I can almost think of it as a draw 3, right? Like, figure out of the 3 cards in my deck, what's the best to, like, accelerate me to even put the slightest amount of pressure on to so you aren't just comfortable draw Digivolve pass.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good point.
And I'd love to play Cordramon.
Yeah. I think it's a really good point that you need something to do on those turns. And yellow-black a lot of the times doesn't or has very passive plays. I think that's where Three Musketeers has that advantage in the matchup specifically is... They want to get more Digimon.
Yeah, they can slam Beelstarmons and
they want more passive pressure. Your deck just wants to eliminate anything that gets onto the field.
Right. Like I think we can Three Musketeers is almost like the sophisticated, cooler older brother of Megazoo, where they're creating these turns with huge amounts of memory swings, but getting such value out of them that you have to spend a lot to deal with it. Like you have to make hard decisions. You have to play into what you know is going to be a problem because you just don't have any other choices to deal with what they have in play. And against a deck that's just trying to set up like Jessmon and is waiting for that delicate plan, trying to draw into it, trying to make sure they have the right hand to deal with the right security stack, the worst cost possible scenario, Three Musketeers is going to be so much better built than security control for this matchup just because it can put pressure down with the same tools it uses to stop you.
Yeah, I definitely agree. This may be a conversation for another day, but what do you think yellow-black has that Three Musketeers doesn't? Is it just the heavy recovery power? Because there is, like, yellow base Three Musketeer.
Oh god, it sounds like so many tough cuts.
Like that would drive me nuts. Homework, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, it's primarily the recovery package that you get from 4 Magna Angemons, 4 Magna Germons, 4 Holy Wave, and 4 reinforcing memory boost. Like, that's the main thing. And the same reason why I chose this as the first deck to play over Three Musketeers is because I wanted the consistency of not having to worry about color.
Yeah.
But even then, I worried about color in games 2 and 3. Like, I couldn't get Izzy down, so I was stuck with, like, 2 onslaughts in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
But
when I know you could have used them, too.
Oh, yeah, it would have been nice. There was a turn where Jessmon just, like, poked. There was, I think, the third game where Jessmon just poked at me for 1 or 2 every turn. Even without the delicate plan, and I just couldn't do anything. Which happens.
Yeah, it happens.
Wait, what's Jessmon's flat number?
11.
Okay, so if I had found Tsukuyomon could have struck back, but...
Yeah, you have that Tsukuyomon tech that I still have not seen.
Yeah. I was really excited about it last week, because it never came into play, but then it just kept not coming into play.
Yeah.
But I swear it's good.
It's gonna be totally good. It's gonna be good.
But... Like, it's funny because Digimon is it can be such a quick game, it can be such a long game at the same time, where, like, there are games you lose by turn 4, there are games that you win on turn 50. And because of that, I feel like in Digimon, more than anything, 1 and 2 ofs are so big. And this 1 of, like, or 2 of, like, Tsukuyomon can feel so game-breaking. Like, remember how... What's the yellow mega, the yellow-blue mega? She was my wife. She rhymed with a basketball player.
Shakumon?
Shakumon, yeah.
Wait, rhymes with a...
She reminded me of a basketball player. Shaq. Shaquille-a-mon.
Shaquille-a-mon.
This is... My brain has to do a lot of strange shortcuts to get to the information it digs for.
That's incredible.
What were we talking about?
Wow. Who cares? Shaq-mon. Where's that at? Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait for the reference description on that.
I see your point, though. Like, the way that that Shakumon broke Rookie Rush, because they don't have Digivolution sources, so they can't declare attacks, or they have Security Attack -1.
Yeah, like, the way that card touched matchups and how hard it was to deal with and how it changed deck slot decisions, I feel like Tsukuyomon can do similarly. Like, there's probably a world where... Gabubon starts running Cacitus Breath. They start running Cacitus Breath to try to deal with Tsukuyomon, and they just save up those memory boosts to have a huge turn. But that gives the yellow player time to set up if they're playing stuff like Wargreymon.
Yeah.
But regardless, what I'm trying to say is that because Digimon is a no sideboard game, and you have to play your meta decisions main deck and 1 and 2 in copies of, there are situations where these, like, things like Tsukuyomon can feel so huge, but you just don't see them sometimes. Because it's one game and we don't have real tutor effects, which I think is healthy. Having no tutor effects is a game decision that is very healthy, but because of a lack of sideboard.
Will you explain what a tutor effect is?
Sorry.
For those of us who may not know.
Right. So from other card games, a tutor effect is when you search your deck for a specific card. You play a card that says search your deck for X card, or sometimes it's any card. Sometimes it's, you know, for instance, a Digimon or a Tamer card, but you get to search the entire stack. And for instance, in Pokemon, which I think is the easiest way to compare to Digimon, when they search their stack, if they know their deck really well, they can figure out exactly what's in their version of security prize cards, which honestly I think slowed down games a lot. Like, I didn't play competitive Pokemon. I've dabbled in it. It was fun. But the first time someone searches their deck and has to organize it and figure out exactly what's in their prize cards in a minute, like, it's tedious. So I am thankful that Digimon doesn't have tutors for that design mentality, but I think... Because we don't have sideboards and we have to play these main deck decisions, like 2 of Tsukuyomon, sometimes we just don't see them. And so, like, sometimes they're such a blowout and other times they're not. Like, for instance, City Championships this last week, I played purple Kari in my Lord Nightmon deck, because in the mirror, I wanted to make sure that if they swung after playing Lord Nightmon, the turn would have to get passed unless they put down a Pulsemon with that memory effect. They wouldn't be able to swing and do something else.
I think that's a great tech.
Yeah, it was great. And I loved it in testing. And I never saw it once. I think the one time I saw it, I drew it in one of like my bottom five cards in the Lord Nine Mind Mirror when I needed it most. And there are other times like where I was just going all out aggro against the mirror and like they fired first, which I think is the big mistake in yellow mirrors. They raised first. I got to counter raise and I never needed to spend memory on a tamer to kind of counteract what they're doing because I just had to keep putting pressure down. Regardless, what I'm trying to say is we have to make these decisions in deck building to play things around the meta main board, just like we did in Netrunner. But because you're playing lower numbers, you really have to decide in your local meta or the tournament you're going to what you have to make these hard meta call decisions to affect your main board. And there's probably a world where someone goes to Nationals with 3 Tsukuyomon or 4 Tsukuyomon, like just ridiculous numbers that you wouldn't think because they're just putting all their chips down.
Because their community is just running Bond of Friendship so heavy and playing the Tsukuyomon just gets them to the top. Like, yeah, local metas are going to be extremely significant this set, I think, because of the different flavors of Bond of Friendship, because of the preference of your local security control players between Three Musketeers and this yellow-black build. Because, I don't know. Digimon's so cool, and I'm so excited we're not playing BT5.
Yeah, I'll say that again.
Ugh.
But the big, like, the one thing I wanted to note is that you're talking about, like, you know, in someone's local community, Gabubon's so big, so they're playing for Tsukuyomon at Nationals. Like, that's, I think, one of the hardest things to decipher when you're playing a competitive card game is differentiating your local meta from, say, the national meta. And, like, Gabumon could be the absolute biggest deck in your locals, but if you look around the nation, it's not being played in, you know, the entire West Coast. Like, you have to think about, okay, from Nationals, how many people are going to be coming from my area versus other areas? Like, even though I think Gabumon might be the strongest deck outside of whatever you're playing, if people aren't just running it, is it really worth 4 slots? Because you see it all the time at home. Like, deciphering between local and world or national or state metas, like, it's, I want to say it's a skill, but at the same time, it's a lottery.
Uh-huh.
Lottery is probably not a right word because you can make decisions and make reads. What's the term? Like, you can.
I mean, yeah. It's a read. It's a called shot.
It's a called shot. It's a, I want to say like a called forecast. Like, you're like, I knew it was going to rain.
All of these words are circling the idea.
Right. People say luck is where, you know, there's a saying of luck is where preparation meets opportunity. That's where I think big meta calls like playing for Tsukuyomon will happen.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, we could just be dead wrong and Gabubon might just not be played around this nation as much as we think it is. And if so, you're going to surprise a lot of people, I hope.
It's going to be played in my neck of the woods. That's for dang sure. Let's go ahead and wrap up there. This is the part of the show where I gather up all my courage to say words I've said 15 times before.
You know, I just realized it's at the beginning of the show when you congratulated me on my Nationals invite, we didn't mention your Nationals invite and that you got it from Regionals.
Oh, but that's old news. You know, I'm kind of king of this block. you know, yeah, no, I placed top 16 in one of the online Regionals a couple months back. I'm super excited, but I'm more excited that we're gonna get to play together and test together and. It won't be sad or weird because one of us won't be doing it.
No, I think it'll be just so exciting that we can talk about it on the podcast, like the Nationals prep and how it's going to go, our Nationals experiences.
Sure. Yeah, it's going to be so good. And with that, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Once again, my name is JB.
I'm
that
Nolan.
Is Nolan.
Oh, yep, that works too.
Yeah, I will figure that out someday. You can find us on Twitter at SEC Checkpoint. And you can reach out to us by email at seccheckpointpod@gmail.com. And, you know, we haven't mentioned this before, but if you've got friends that are into the Digimon TCG, let them know this podcast exists. It would really mean a lot to me individually and not Nolan because he's a hater.
What? Is this because of Shaquille Amon?
No, I don't know. I'm going to start that over. You could be grateful for it too.
No. I think it's good to create this character development in JB versus Nolan.
Of me just like declaring things.
Yeah.
That's just my character. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't have to develop that.
The crowd doesn't know what I know.
Yeah. I think the crowd is learning.
They don't know the dark things. They don't know how we met.
Oh, Lord.
That's a story for another podcast.
Yeah. Holy shit. What have I said and what have I not said? I'm sorry for cursing puppy.
Are you going to bleep it? Or is it just like, I'm imagining a bleep, but instead of like the actual bleep noise, it just says rad puppy.
No, it's dark puppy.
It's dark puppy. Sorry.
I won't have you disrespecting him like that.
Dark puppy's the youngest player at our locals.
No, and I apologize to him when I really should have been apologizing to his mom when she screens this podcast for any curse words. We are so far away from
Dark Puppy's mother.
From the things we do at the end of the show.
What do we do at the end of the show?
You can find We say goodbye. Say goodbye, Nolan.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening. That's the word.
Goodbye.